Hey everybody, I'm Luke and welcome back to The Breakdown. Wow, it has been a while since we got to have a breakdown, but we are back and the Lord has been doing so many amazing things in our family. You can just take a look at all of the announcements. There's so many things going on. We had that, even that wonderful artist gallery that last week, and the kids got their fall festival day, and then Sunday with the baptisms. That is always a very joyful and exciting time here at our church. I'm really blessed by what the Lord does with that. Joining us today is Miss Hannah Kroll. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Just happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And how are you, Brett, and your kids enjoying the fall?
Oh, love the fall. It's the best time of the year.
So fall is your favorite?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
No, there's no other competition. I mean, we live in New England. 90% of our year is cold. So, you know, like before it gets real cold and you can just wear a sweater, like that, I'm down. Let's go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What have you guys been getting to do? Any of the fall things?
You know, this year we haven't been doing all the fall things. I've been like reverse. I'm like spring cleaning in the fall because I'm like, you know, I'm already like decorating for Christmas. Like, don't tell anyone. It's like just after.
Hey, it is November. We are allowed. I believe that like Thanksgiving is like pre-Christmas. So anything leading into Thanksgiving, it's all part of the holiday.
You know, I mean, it's just great to have your Christmas tree set up for Thanksgiving. I'm that wacko. Just don't judge me. It's just.
No judgment here. Other people might. But
yeah,
not
you know,
for me.
All of you out there, I don't want to hear it. I was a floral designer for so long. So honestly, I was decorating my Christmas tree like mid-December usually.
Oh.
So I started doing it earlier because I was doing everyone else's and I wanted to enjoy doing my own Christmas tree. So it just became a tradition that just happened and I'm okay with it.
That's cool. Now, do you guys use all the same ornaments every year or do you do a whole new theme? Or
Again, being like kind of a designer, I just
That's
don't like
I
the
asked.
Same thing. It just depends on my mood. One year I like grabbed a bunch of branches and like stuck them in my tree and was like, it's a fall tree. Like, so yeah, it just depends on, it's always different.
That's cool. What's it going to look like this year?
I haven't gotten that far. I'm a little late to the game,
right.
But like,
okay.
Well, you know, as soon as it happens, I'll let you know.
It's going to happen. So what were some of your highlights on Sunday from the baptisms or in the worship time? What was the Lord showing you? What were you experiencing?
So, I mean, I absolutely love baptisms and I love just when the Spirit moves. And I just love our pastor so much. I love Zach. I love that he just is willing to move with the Spirit. And whatever the Lord has is his heart. And like that should be all of our hearts, is just to flow with what the Lord is doing, because we gain so much more when we have less of us.
Yeah.
And like, I just... The whole day was just, it was a celebration as it should be. And I mean, I really loved talking about dreams and, you know, just really starting to begin to, when we break down the message, like this is all about the breakdown. When we break it down, we can go 100 different directions and we can really.
Yes, we can.
You know, I just started reading, you know, where Zach had left off and I was like, oh man, I'm just going to keep going and reading throughout the whole thing. And I'm laughing to myself because like you have in Genesis, what was it? 37.
That's where we started.
So 38 was like a little like break and it's like, hey, side story. And I'm like, I love when the Bible just goes like, hold on, like, well, let's just take a minute and do this little like intermission thing. And then we'll be back because we're going to go forward to go backwards.
Yes.
And it's cool to kind of like really gain perspective in things when you have those like intermission moments to really like take a step back and see what was actually, you know, the history of things and what was going on. So,
for real. No, it is really exciting. And maybe you're joining us for the first time and maybe you're new to following Jesus and reading the Bible. I do encourage you to read Genesis. Genesis is super important. That's where we kind of get the foundation for the whole story. Even though the Bible is, I believe, 66 books, it's all one story. And I believe that's the message that God has for all of us today, even as we dive into talking about the message. It's that there is a unified story in your life. And when you give the pen to the Lord, like he writes that story, he writes that destiny, he gives you those dreams. And everything that he starts, he finishes.
Yeah. It's actually cool because I was talking to someone this week and I had this, you know, whole thought process that we were created by the creator to create. The creator of all creation created us to create, and we're all creating things on a day-to-day basis.
Yes,
whether it's our thought process, whether we're creative and artsy and whatever, like we're always creating things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if we really think about like how the enemy can't create, he just copies what the Lord has already established.
Destroys.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so cool to see that like the creative creation created us to be like him.
Amen.
And literally create. And it's just such a beautiful thing when we really think about like,
yes,
well, look at what, like, it's not that he always does new things, but it's just like such a beautiful thought to be like, wow, Lord, there's no limit to you. There's just no limit to what you can do.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Every time I get to a place where things are feeling stale or mundane, I've come to realize like that is not from the Lord. That's the enemy. And that's also me taking my eyes off of what God is doing. Because God is always breathing in new life, even in the things that, even in the routine and the things that stay the same, he has new mercies for today. He makes all things new. And as we grow and mature in him, like there is a solidifying and knowing of his truth, but then even the application of his truth, it's like, it's today and being open to what he has for me today in the story that he's writing in my life.
So good.
Yeah.
I love also too that you're using the word like the story of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that's just pointing to the Father being a creator.
Amen.
And like he calls himself a potter.
Mm-hmm.
And like he never says that we're in a kiln and we're done. Like,
no.
Like when we really think about that, it's like we're not actually done. He's the potter. He doesn't say, I'm done being the potter. He continues to mold us.
Yes. And you know, like Paul says, like he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so part of how I apply that to myself is like, well, I'm not in the, you know, in the physical presence of Jesus yet. I'm not in heaven. So there is still work to be done here. So he is still completing what he's done in me. In my spirit, it is done. But there is the working out of that in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I just, before we move forward, I do want to address anyone who, maybe this was your first time watching baptisms, or maybe your concept of baptism had been different, like how it is done. I just want to take a moment to talk about that, because not everyone comes from the same background. And maybe you're completely new to Christianity, and that was the first time you'd ever been to a baptism. And, you know, what was taking place was people were basically saying, I want to follow Jesus. And they didn't have to, you know, we couldn't hear what was said when they were in the pools. But what they were doing is they're affirming that they are trusting in Jesus, and they're bringing their whole life into submission to that. And that's why it involves your body. It's a physical thing.
Yeah.
But it reflects what God has done on the inside. But I also believe that the physical act is also so important. And this is why, you know, like when we're in worship, worship, yes, is primarily from our heart. But when we use our bodies and raise our hands and bring our physical body into submission with the work that God has done on the inside, the Lord meets us in such a powerful way.
And I think that's sometimes why there's so much resistance to do certain things. Like when you're told to come down for an altar call, and you feel that in your spirit, it's walking into agreement with like, I know that the Lord is moving. So like, even in your physical body, we're like, I need to move. Like the presence of God is here and I need to rejoice. It's like allowing your physical body to come into alignment with what you know and understand. And it's like it can be a challenge sometimes too, because it's sometimes like, you know, all those people who came and went up who, it was, you know, they didn't go to the class or they didn't whatever. Right. And it's just so beautiful to like walk in that knowing, because that takes an act of trust in the Lord. That is a walking out of your faith.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful thing to like those people who did, like absolute Like, amen. We're like rejoicing with you because it's so exciting. No,
and it's really cool. You know, again, like even the whole, like this was the first church I had been part of that did like spontaneous baptisms. Like where, oh, if you didn't show up to church that day planning to get baptized and you want to get baptized, like, you know, we open that. For me, because of how I'm wired, you know, and how I encounter the Lord, you know, especially like in teaching and understanding him, there was like a growth point, I would say, for me to come to understand, like, how is this okay? Like, is that, is this something that we should allow? Like, do we know what these people believe? Like, you know, and what I have come to understand and see is they are making their step towards Jesus. Yeah. And I trust our pastors. I trust the people baptizing them. Like there is a conversation. And Pastor Will has explained that there is a follow-up. Everyone that gets baptized, they get a follow-up. So because we are committing to walk with them as a family. So it's not just this thing that they're going up and doing. No, it is a moment and it is pastored and they are cared for.
So good.
And there are some things I think we can go to the other extreme. I know I've been like this in some places where it's like I overemphasize the understanding of things before the walking out. And it's like sometimes it's you walk out and then you understand.
Right. Well, because if we did everything with understanding everything, where's the faith? And so it's like faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. And it's like sometimes when we're reading the word, we actually have to hear it so that we can get it. And it's like sometimes we have to say it to ourselves or like our spirit can understand and recognize. It's funny that you say that you've never experienced this before because can I tell a side story?
Is that yes, absolutely.
So the first time actually, so my husband, I don't know how many people know this, but my husband was an alcoholic for some time and he struggled with alcoholism. So he's set free. But amen. The Lord, the Sunday that he got out of detox, it was a baptism at our church that we were going to at the time. And my husband was like, I'm getting baptized. We picked him up at detox. He jumped in the car, a friend of ours, and we drove straight to church. And they're like, we're doing baptisms. Anyone who wants to jump in, go ahead, let's go. And my husband jumped in that tank and came out. And it was like, only God.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Was so good. And
Amen.
So like just seeing the move of the Lord, just like, you know, we don't know everyone's story.
No.
And just to see that, like, I know that part of my husband's story. So to see these people walk up there with their clothes on and be like, I'm doing this. Like, this is the act of faith that I'm walking in is just, it brings so much excitement to me. And it's just like, the Lord is on the move. Like, this is so exciting.
Amen. Amen. And that's what I think is so cool that Pastor Zach brought this message about, you know, the dreams that God has given us and the story that he's writing, because this is what we're talking about. And I think that sometimes our discomfort, when we see someone else's story playing out, I think sometimes it's because we're not as aware of, well, where is God in my story?
Yeah.
And it can bring up things in us. So if you're feeling some sort of discomfort or maybe there's a question that's rising up, take that to the Lord, because the Lord, he's in your story. Are you aware of it? And are you relinquishing the pen to him?
That's good. That's really good. I think that it is one of those things that sometimes when we compare ourselves to other people and we can quickly walk into offense. And I mean, we've been talking about a lot of, you know, offense and doubt and like all these things. And the enemy, it's just another tool that the enemy wants to keep us captive in. And it's like our story is our own story because we are our own individual. Like when we look at, like, you know, snowflakes, every single one of them is different. And we know this. And then when it comes to us, we're like, oh, okay, well, like, I know I'm different. I know that I'm set apart.
Right.
You know, I know and understand these things. And I know that, like, I'm the apple of God's eye. Like, I know. But when we really like get that he, like, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, Zach had like made a quote and I'm going to quote him wrong, but
more or less
paraphrasing, you know, we cannot complete somebody else's thing, somebody else's gifting, because mm-hmm. it was given to us to complete. I don't know. Maybe it was this week, actually.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
I'll check my notes. Keep going.
But yeah, but it's God gave us, every single one of us, a special thing for us to complete in his kingdom. It's for each one of us. And if we try and complete somebody else's calling, like we can't do that. We can't pick up somebody else's calling. It's ours for us. And it's like, it's really like affirming identity of who we are and mm-hmm. who we are in him, and getting that clarification like for ourselves.
Amen. Yeah, it was this week. I believe it was
okay.
This week.
Like, it's been a long week, man.
at the end of service, Zach explained, he said that basically that this dream that the Lord has put in our heart, it was custom crafted for you, for me. And you know, Paul echoes that in Ephesians, where he says, you know, like, we're saved unto good works. We're not saved by any work that we've done. It's all by faith in Jesus. We've been talking about that. But then what the Lord does is, like, he gives us these works to do, and it's that God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So there is a destiny over our life. And I believe that the enemy wants to rob you of that truth, that there is a destiny over your life. Because if he can take that from you, if he can get you to not believe that, and if you believe the lie that there is no destiny, then you're not living in hope, then there is no purpose.
Yeah.
So diving into the story of Joseph, do you have any thoughts on Joseph's life, Hannah?
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah.
It's such a, I mean, I think growing up, you know, one of those things was always kind of like, you know, I grew up in the church. So I always learned, like, Joseph, coat of many colors. And that was like the main part of the story. And like, oh, his brothers, like mean brothers, sold him into slavery. Like, boy had a dream. Like, what's your problem? Like, so like I kind of like rereading it again from a different light. And, you know, there's just some things that in Sunday school you don't learn and they don't teach you, which is just like, my husband and I were laughing about it. I'm like, oh, Bible's like legit, man.
Yes.
There's some things that you're like, okay, cool. But you know, that's just the Lord. You know, it's like sometimes we think certain things are like outside of our, like, I don't know. Sometimes I, growing up, have always envisioned the Bible being something perfect, or trying to like, well, it just looked this way. And I always kind of put a cap on scripture of just like, I kind of bubbled it. And really, like, as I've gotten older, I've started to look at the Bible and be like, wow, there's so many little tidbits in there that make the Bible so real and realistic of like, oh, like, you know, how blessings come and go. And just like, I'm talking about chapter 38, where, you know, it's just kind of like a taboo thing.
Can you,
like,
take us into 38? Because I'm really feeling something on that. I was actually just looking that up while you were talking.
How about you start? And
well, so what's really interesting, and we're not going to go through the whole chapter. If you're listening, go read chapter 38. And
yeah.
And when you think of Joseph's story within the context of what Pastor Zach is calling us to about the dreams in our life and the destiny on our life, it makes so much sense why this story is in there. But you have to look at it in the context of the whole Bible.
Yeah.
So basically what happened, so Judah, this is one of Joseph's
brothers,
right? So Judah had a son, he died, and then his son's wife was supposed to go to another brother, and it didn't work out. That brother was not obedient in bearing children towards his dead brother. And so then the Lord killed him. And so then Tamar, this is, she knows that she needs to be cared for. So she dresses up as a prostitute, and she tricks her father-in-law, Judah, into sleeping with her. And then she gives birth to twins. And then Judah, like, realizes it later, and you know, like, he has a heart change. But what is it, you know, this is a very disgusting story. It's a very twisted story.
Yeah.
But what is so powerful is from one of those twin boys comes the line of Judah that gives birth to King David. And it's like Boaz, Jesse, David, and then goes all the way to Jesus. And it's not that God, because morally what happened was wrong, right?
Right. It honestly felt a little bit soap opera-y.
Yes.
And I'm like reading this and I'm like, okay. You know, nowadays, like it's so funny how, you know, a lot of us fall into like watching reality TV and it's like, hey, you know what? Like read the Bible. Like
Amen.
You know?
Or just read your own life, right? Like, but the Lord, it's not that he condones the immorality. It's just that what he promises will take place. And it was through Judah that the Messiah comes. And the Lord redeems our mistakes. He redeems those broken parts of our story. And I don't think it's an accident that we're talking about that on this program today, because when you're young and fresh and maybe you haven't made a lot of stories, a lot of mistakes, it can be easier to hear and hopeful even to hear a message like what Pastor Zach brought forth on Sunday of there's a destiny over your life. There's a dream that God's given you. You're like, yeah, there's a dream. Like I can feel God birthing it in me. I think it's a whole different situation when you're like, yeah, I used to feel that way. And then I made mistakes. I did this. I did that. This was done to me. This was sabotaged. This came in the way. And that dream is dead. And I don't see how that could come about. But when you look at the story of Joseph, when you look at this situation with Judah and Tamar, and even just the whole Bible as a whole story, you have to come to this place of just hope.
Right.
Like, and that's why the Bible says like Jesus is our living hope. So he resurrected from the dead. So the dead story, the dead dream in your life, hand that to Jesus and he will resurrect it. And He will give you his vision for your life today.
Right. It's so good because it's, you know, there's so many things like we make mistakes in life and like, you know, we don't know what was going on Tamar's mind or like, you know, what she was thinking. But like, there's so many times where we make mistakes and sometimes like, frankly, it was manipulative, her choices that she made. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but yet her bloodline, you know, like it's just it really is the Lord. Like when you really look at like how many things that we've done in our lives and how many mistakes that we've made, he's the kinsman redeemer.
Yes.
And like really like,
and that story is part of that line too. The story of Ruth comes into this exact bloodline because Boaz comes from this family as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's like, I love when the Bible goes forward to go backwards and it's like, hey, you know, like this is like in the future, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so cool. And it really, everything, I forget how many references there are, but there's so many references in the Bible. There's like a big, big number that like reference each other. And it's like, it's just so beautiful how, you know, how can we as humans think that like, the Lord can't bring everything back around. And we're like, when we're stuck in our things and we look at all these things of the Bible and like what the Lord has done and how many references back to like different points of what he does. And it's like, when we look at our wounds and our things that we've done and we're like,
right,
how can this be like fixed? How can we turn this around, Lord? Like, I don't know how you can turn this around.
Amen. Yeah, I get it. And another cool, individual in this story it is in this, if you look at this line of Judah, Rahab, she also marries into the tribe of Judah and she is part of this same lineage that leads to Jesus.
And it's so funny because it's like you have two prostitutes.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. She was not an Israelite. She was not an Israelite. She was from Jericho, but she said, I believe in your God.
Right. But like, that's a testament to what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if we actually look at that and really, really believe that God can use anything and use anyone.
Amen.
Like, he used somebody with the wrong bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Wrong heritage.
Wrong heritage. Like, I mean, and not to mention like her lifestyle choices, like, you know,
yes.
And it's like, if we actually believe and know and actually take an account for like, really, mm-hmm. who is the Lord and who is he saying and what is he saying in these stories and what does it actually mean for us? What does that really mean? Are we believing? Mm-hmm. Are we just knowing and reading scripture to read it? Or are we actually believing who God says that he is?
Yeah.
Who God is showing time and time again, story after story, who he is.
Amen. Amen. So if you're listening to this and, you know, you've been struggling in a season or even just a life, like you're saying, like, season, I'm talking about my whole life. Yeah, maybe it has been your whole life. Maybe it's been decades. And you have been in a place of death for decades and feeling like there is no point to your story. Know that the hope comes from outside of you. Yeah. So if you're looking inward and the world tells us to look inward, it's not going to end. It's not going to end well, right? I have to look up. I have to understand that Jesus is my hope. When you look to Jesus and the price that he paid on the cross for your sins, for your brokenness, and you give him your life, you give him your story, you go all in with him, he enters in and he does this transforming work and he will revive your story. He revives your spirit. And Paul says in, I think it's Romans 8, it's like, he who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all these other things?
Yeah.
And our story is so secondary to the story of Jesus and the redemptive work he's done in the world and then even in our own life. Everything else is secondary to that. But God cares. He cares about all those things. It's not like a bonus. It's, he truly cares about all of that. Every hair on your head is numbered.
That's right. So good.
So going into that, into the message, Pastor Zach really sat on that reality of Joseph being in prison. And I think that is a place where a lot of us find ourselves at different times. Like, we have this vision, this dream that the Lord's given us. But then there are sometimes these seasons that feel like a jail cell or maybe a roadblock. And it's not that you've forgotten the dream. It's just, it seems like the circumstances around you are keeping you hostage in a sense.
Right. And it's a waiting period. Cause I think that, you know, waiting is really hard. And so not only was he waiting whilst he was in prison, like, well, he was waiting. He got the vision when, we don't know, like, he got those two visions a long, long time before it came true. And then when he's in prison, he's having to wait. And then this other guy comes in and he's like, you know, the cupbearer. And he's like, okay, like, finally, somebody knows my story. Like, and then we don't really know how much time he was waiting for this. And like, I feel like sometimes waiting can be a prison, you know, like,
yeah,
because, but look at what the Lord's doing in the waiting. And I think that's a hard thing to do, is when we're in the waiting, the Lord had given, a lot of times when we get a prophecy or a word for our life, we have to wait, not because God's taking a long time, but because of us, because we have to come into alignment with whatever he may have so that he can have his way. And it's like, if we don't come into alignment, and we're like, oh God, I'm just waiting on you. And he's like,
Yeah.
And sometimes it's us that has to, like, you know, yield to something or release something or let something go because we're bound by whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And the Lord can't do a work if we don't allow him. He's a gentleman. We can't just like be like, come on, God, take this from me. But I'm not going to let it go. You know?
Amen. Amen. And Pastor Zach I really liked how he highlighted Joseph's obedience to the Lord and faithfulness in the execution of his gift of interpreting dreams. And
right.
And Pastor Zach said that with the baker, because the interpretation of the baker's dream was not good. It prophesied that this guy was going to be executed. And Pastor Zach, you know, he said that Joseph had this opportunity to really offer up like a soulish prophecy, like one that would be more pleasing, but he was accurate in right. his interpretation. And, you know, when we're in those waiting seasons or when we're in that jail cell, it is so important that we understand that we live first for the Lord, and wherever he has us, that's where he has us.
Because when we want our way, mm-hmm. it's like we know his ways are higher than ours.
Right.
And when we see our own agenda, mm-hmm. like we can't see the full picture.
Right.
And, you know, like, yeah, sure, it would have been easier for him. Like this other guy forgot him. The cupbearer forgot him. Mm-hmm. He could have, like you right. said.
It wouldn't have changed the end for the baker, but it says something about Joseph's character that he was faithful to the interpretation the Lord gave him.
Right, because maybe he would have gotten out faster if he gave the wrong interpretation. Like in his mind, being stuck in prison, right. being stuck in waiting,
right.
and you don't know when, like you don't know when you're going to be free. And I feel like some of us sometimes do that, where we're like, we don't know when we're going to come out of the season. The season mm-hmm. is so hard.
Yep.
Can I just get out, Lord? And if I can just take a shortcut, but because of his faithfulness, mm-hmm. he was then able to, would what have happened, would his original dream have come true if he didn't wait and be obedient?
Right.
Like, we don't know what would have happened if he didn't,
right.
if he wasn't obedient.
Right.
And, you know, because of that, like years later, mm-hmm. but like still years. And it's just amazing mm-hmm. to me, because it's like we want things so quickly in this culture and yeah. this society we live in. We want things so fast. Was that like 10 years that he waited? We don't know.
Like, yeah, I forget the exact, I think it's in the story somewhere. But it, you know, what makes it even worse for him experientially is like, it was his obedience that got him into prison.
Right.
Right. And it's like, God, I'm trying to serve you. But I think that's exactly it, is the Lord is like, yeah, you're serving me. And if we can, and we have to, it is in those difficult places where we grow the deepest.
Yeah.
When we grow the closest to the Lord, and he does a solidifying and a sustaining and a really powerful work in us that will sustain us when he takes us to those vulnerable places. Because when Joseph gets out of prison and then he becomes second in command in Egypt, he has power in the world's eyes. And when you have power in the world's eyes, like you can wield it in different ways. Right. And like we can see that with even King David. Like King David had power. And so he used his power for good, but then he also used it to, I want that woman that I see taking right. a bath, bring her to me.
Right.
And they do it because he's the king.
Right.
Right. So we want that, we want the Lord to work a character in us that will sustain us.
Right.
When we come into positions of influence that could be used for the wrong things.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're just talking about that in my personal life. I've just been seeing when the Lord pulls a lot of things back and takes a lot of things out of our lives. It's like when we have nothing and seeing like, okay, Lord, I trust you with the very little that I have, or whatever it may be. It's like, I'm going to trust you in all aspects. Even if I don't have anything, you're my provider, and I'm not going to faint, and I'm not going to grow weary. And it's like, it's one of those things that when we, you know, like Joseph, when he lost essentially everything because he went to jail, like mm-hmm. the mindset of where you are when you're in those places, you know, the Lord puts us in those places sometimes to grow us so that we may, you know, what was the original dream was
his wheat, brothers bowing down bowing. To him and his parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so like to get there, to get to that point, he had to be faithful with literally nothing. You have nothing in jail. You have absolutely nothing. You have to be faithful with what the Lord gives you in those times.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, like I was at King's Chapel today. And I was just singing and worshiping, you know, with in the audience in the congregation. And at one point I felt in my spirit like the Lord was saying, if I was the only one who could hear you sing, would you still sing? And like it really convicted me. And I've been thinking about that all day. I mean, in that moment, the Lord was the only person and that could hear me sing, aside from like people around me, right? But I think I what triggered it was I was mindful of the people around me that could be hearing me sing, right? Yeah. And I've sung on worship teams before. And in my spirit, like thinking about it throughout the day, I was like, I feel like 80 to 90%, being generous with myself, would say yes. But it's almost like the Lord was highlighting there's like a 10 to 20% residue of me that would want people to hear me sing.
Yeah.
And it's like, Lord, thank you so much for highlighting that, because where could that 10 or 20% take me? Like, right. How could the enemy hide? He could hijack 10 or 20%, 5%.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have any crack. We don't want any residue that the enemy can take advantage of and lead me astray.
But that's hard.
It is.
It's really hard to, like, you know, when we hear stuff like that, we can brush it off. We can just kind of be like, well, yeah, you're like, you know, yeah, it's not great, but like, I'll work on it later.
80%
right? I mean, yeah, like, come on. It's pretty good. But it's just that it's our heart posture. Mm-hmm. It's all about our heart. And just having the heart posture of like, Lord, I'm all in.
Amen.
And just continually, like, if we have a little bit of our residue, like you said, like I heard an analogy once, when you're ripping up weeds out of the ground, there's a certain weed in New England, if you don't rip up every single offshoot root, it will always grow back. And it's, what are we cultivating and what are we growing? What are we watering and what are we allowing the Lord to grow in us that's going to gain fruit?
Right.
Because of your obedience to hear the Lord today, your yes is a momentum in the kingdom and what he's going to do in your life because of your yes and your ability to identify what he's speaking to you. And like, that's that we think about all these big moves and all these huge things. And we're like, oh, if we could just be. And it's like, no, that's not where it's at.
No.
Where it's really, really at is those tiny moments where we can identify with the Lord and the Lord can identify something in our heart. That is the change that we need. And for the body as a whole needs.
Yeah. Amen.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's what Jesus died for, is, you know, what we lost in the garden was that relationship, that one-on-one relationship when the Lord would come down into the garden and walk with us. That's what we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus died to restore that. And we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And truly, like when we are relishing that, when we're holding that in proper alignment, then it doesn't really matter, in a sense, where our physical lives take us.
Right.
I mean, the Lord cares about them. And I'm not saying, like, you know, to not care about improving your life or not bringing your knees before the Lord. He cares about those things.
Yeah.
But that's not the main thing. The main thing is Jesus and that you now can go into the throne room and find grace to help you in a time of need. Like, you don't have to go through all these processes. You don't, it's all right there.
Right. I actually, can I do another side story?
Yeah.
this week I actually have a big Italian family, and I spent most of my life trying to kind of subconsciously, like, be enough for them. Like, I just thought I was less than, and they, you know, they, let's call them big business builders in the world, and they're quite successful and all these things. And I always looked up to them as like, oh my goodness, if I could X, Y, and Z. And I just always went into it with such intimidation. And this past week, my great uncle had passed, and the Lord, he's so good. I had the absolute honor of praying with him as he died. And well, it was about a week before he passed, or 2 weeks before he passed, I prayed the prayer with him for salvation. And it was just, it was so beautiful. And that's what it's about. And I think I, you know, I was driving on the way to the funeral yesterday, and I started to realize, like, wow, Lord, you have given me everything that I need. You are my provider. You have provided the people in my life, the church that I'm a part of, like everything in my life. And if I don't walk into the fullness that you've called me to be in and step into who you've called me to be and what you've called me to do. And there were just so many beautiful moments at the funeral. I was praying for somebody, and it wasn't for me to try and work and do something. The Lord had just placed this person in front of me. And it's when we're walking in obedience and living the way he called only you to live, because he loves you so individually. And if you see how the Lord sees you through his eyes, you are just like the apple of his eye. And it's like, sounds so corny, really, but like, it's just it's the truth. It's like, you're just a special diamond that he just loves so much. And if we can actually really walk into that, our creator created us to be this beautiful creation. And if we can see and get a glimmer of how he sees us, we can walk with such a difference in our lives. And we can do things and see things through his eyes.
Amen. So. Amen. Well, this has been a really awesome conversation. I really hope that you who have been listening, I hope you're rejuvenated and you're inspired. And that it's not just an emotion, but you're truly coming into an understanding that the Lord has called you to a specific work. And as you dialogue with him, he's going to show you more of what that is, but it starts with a dialogue.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about, you know, reading Genesis, reading the whole story, go back to the beginning. What was life like in the beginning? It was God, walking with Adam and Eve. He created everything. He spoke everything into existence. And then he said, let us make man in our image. And so we reflect his image in that we have words, and our words we can use to create.
Yeah.
What are we putting into our life? What are the words that we're putting out there into the lives around us? And how is the enemy trying to influence what we say and what we think? And are we taking those thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ and the vision that he's placed in our heart? And if you have been in a place and you really don't know how to resurrect any dream, or you don't, I haven't received anything, turn to Jesus and trust him and say, Jesus, I give you my life, and you have the pen, and you write what you want with my life. But and if you wouldn't mind, just close us in prayer, and we'll get on with November, Christmas, and all the wonderful things God has for us.
So good. Lord, we just thank you, and we honor you, and we praise you, and we thank you, Father, for everyone listening. Lord, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I thank you for all the dreams that everyone listening has had. And we thank you for the ones that have yet to have that encounter with you. Lord, I pray right now that every person who's listening would start to know you in a new way, Lord. I pray that any area of their lives that has just been foggy or unclear or unknown as to how you're in it, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you do not depart from us, and you love us so intimately and deeply. So, Lord, I just pray for every person listening that they would just feel your love and your presence surround them. Lord, and I just pray for their dreams tonight, whenever you hear this, I just pray for your dreams, that Lord, you would encounter them in their dreams in a new way. Lord, and I pray for all of their hearts to just be in tune with you, Lord, and what you have set in them, all their desires of their hearts, that you have given them those desires, and they come into alignment with what you have called and what you have spoken over them. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you that you've created them in your image, and you love them immensely. Lord, I thank you for this this moment and this time. In Jesus' name, we love you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay, family, we love you. Go with the Lord and live out your dreams, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on-